maybe call from human resources to find out about that job interview. Maybe we're waiting on that Alzheimer's cure we keep reading about that's probably 2 decades out, maybe. Who knows what'll happen with that? Or waiting on maybe a pregnancy, you know, that doesn't seem to come. There's all kinds of things that we wait for, and the waiting is not exciting. It's maybe the waiting is filled with fear and dread. And this is a part, I think, of what it means to be human. Fear and dread are a part of the human experience, probably because we learn these things by disappointment. Things aren't the way they're supposed to be in our world, and we get hurt, and so we begin to live out of that hurt. You know, I think about the child who stops running to the door when daddy gets home from work, or the parents who freak out at 3 a.m. when the phone rings, right? We learn to fear, we learn to dread things because of the reality, because of our own experiences, because we've been let down or hurt. And we've all experienced this in some way. This is a part of our story, right? And it's not just because of the fall, it's not just because of we inherit this tradition from our first parents, Adam and Eve. It's because we participate in it too. I would imagine there's none of us here. Hudson's probably at home, right? All right. So none of us here who have been let down. He will soon if he hasn't already. There's none of us that haven't been let down, haven't been disappointed at some point. And I also feel pretty sure that there's none of us here that haven't let down or disappointed someone else. Probably even today, right? We lost our temper maybe with our family, or didn't clean the kitchen like you promised to, or you broke a promise that you made. We've all participated in one way or another with this disappointing. We together create a culture of fear and dread, disappointment, even death. We build this. We're a part of it. And it's all a part of this disease that we have, that we then turn around and spread, this disease of sin that wreaks havoc on our very lives, on our culture. It's just destructive, and we play an active role in spreading it. That's the reality that we have. So what can be done? I mean, that is the fact of human existence in the world. So what can be done? And I think this is a good time of year to talk about that, because the one thing that we need to do is learn to wait well. Waiting for Christmas is a lot like waiting for Jesus, right? Except you might have a present you want. You're not quite sure you're going to get it. You think you will, though. You heard somebody talking about it. You saw some history in the web browser. you're probably going to get that thing, right? Well, waiting for Jesus, we know exactly what we're going to get, and it's going to be way better than that thing that you want for Christmas. We have something great that we're waiting for. So I'm going to read through Psalm 27 and look at a couple of things about that and what it can teach us about waiting for Jesus. Let me pray for us first. God, open our ears and our hearts to your word this morning. Amen. All right, I'm just going to read starting in verse 1. Of Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. O you who have been my help, cast me not off, forsake me not, O God of my salvation. For my father and mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Wait. Now, I think what we can do while we wait on the Lord is, first of all, recognize this verse 1 says that he is our light and our salvation. Recognize that light, that actual light, is only in Christ. Now, this is a metaphor that runs almost from page to page, cover to cover of the Bible. The metaphor of darkness. Because darkness is a great metaphor for what it is like for you and I to live in this world. We stumble into darkness. We mess up. We wander around aimlessly. We look for something that'll give us some sense of hope and even a way to see where the heck we're going. I've used this example before, but it's the best one I can think of. That scene in The Silence of the Lambs where Jodie Foster's in the basement and the bad guy has the night vision goggles on and she's just like, you can see her face. She's terrified. She knows he's in there somewhere, and she's wandering around, touching the walls. She can't see anything, and it's horrifying. And there's this deep suspense in that moment in the movie. She doesn't know where she's going. That's a lot like what it's like for you and I. Figuring out what's next for me. Where am I supposed to go? Maybe serious questions about vocation or calling or what am I going to do in my life? And some of you here are still trying to figure out who you are. Those are valid, serious questions. And we wander around looking for something. Remember, he is the light. Listen to John 1:5. It says, in him was life, and that light was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. He is the light of men. We're not gonna figure out some other way apart from him. We need light in the darkness, and the Bible repeatedly tells us, and other people's experience, if you listen to their stories, will tell you, he is the light. Nothing else that you can get a hold of. And that's why we need to do this other thing. It's right here. And that is seek his face. Verses 7 and 8. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. See, this relates so much to this idea of Jesus being the light. He is the light. He is our light. And yet, we so often look other places for light, don't we? It's coded into our DNA to look for something that will make it better. And some of you are thinking, well, it's easy for you to say, you know what, the other things that make it better, that soothe the pain of living in a dark world, that seem to answer questions for a short time, those things are tangible. I can put my hands on them. I can see them. I can taste them, right? I can breathe it in. These things I can touch. You say, seek God's face, right? Seek Him. He's out there, and it's hard to kind of wrap our heads around that. I know. I get that. But let's talk for a minute about the other things that we go to for light. Money, success, fame, entertainment, reputation, status, substances. Let me just ask a simple question. How's that working out for you? You still want more, don't you? President-elect Trump, I promise you, is not famous enough. He is not rich enough. There is never enough, and it can all go away like that. That doesn't work. It's never enough. Walking around in a dark world, holding on to these things, right, for light, is like wandering around a dark room with a golf club. Wouldn't a mag light be a better choice? We need to be seeking His face. Take David's example in verse 4. He says, "One thing I have asked of the Lord, that I will seek after, that will I seek after that. May I dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord." Dwell in His house all the days of my life and gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. Now, let's be honest. I know some of you think, gaze upon the beauty of the Lord all the days of my life. That don't sound so great. I know that. But if that's you, let me just say a couple of things. First of all, be aware that you may not ever have to worry about it. Sometimes people tend to think, well, I'll go to church, check it off on my box, and have that out of the way, and I don't have to think about God for the rest of the week, right? And then, you know, because I've heard this before, right? I've heard this taught before, and I'll refute it until my dying day from the pulpit, because some of you heard it from the pulpit. Just come down front, raise your hand, say a little prayer, and then you get to go to heaven one day. No! If you're here for your life insurance, don't count on that policy cashing in. If you attend church regularly, there's no promise in the Bible. You go to church every week, then you get to go to some magical place when you die. That's not the way it works. That's not the good news of the gospel. In fact, that's not even good news at all. What's so great about that? Good news is that you and I hated God. Let's use the word. Let's say it. We didn't want anything to do with it. You want something to do with your Maker who says, this is who I am and you belong to me. I have the right. I have the authority over you because I crafted you with my fingers. I made you. I know you better than you know yourself. I know your heart. I know your longings. I know your fears. I know every thought and every action. And in your nature, you don't want anything to do with me. But you know what? I'm going to come and rescue you anyway. I'm going to come and give you myself. Good news is that the light of the world shone in our dark hearts so that our Creator, who crafted us, could have a relationship with us, like a relationship, a friendship, a connection, an ability to communicate one-on-one. This is what our Maker is after. He wants us. He wants our hearts, and He wants to give us Himself. That's good news. We sing a little bit ago, and I thought about this, like hinges swinging on a, I can't remember these lyrics, like hinges swinging on a door, my heart can no longer keep from singing, that's straining from the weight, that's the lyric, like hinges straining from the weight, my heart can no longer keep from singing. This good news is supposed to motivate that. It's supposed to call out God. our longings and our affection for Jesus. To say, wow, Jesus did all of that to come and get me. And that should influence in us a strong affection for him. That ought to make us want to seek his face. I thought about this last night. A little interesting story. Last night about 8:40, I looked at my phone, it was 8:40. Gage went down to the basement, came back up. He said, Dad, we got a problem. There's eggshells and coffee grounds on the basement floor. Okay, so I realized there was a pipe had just broken. It's a long story. I kind of got figured it out and temporarily patched it eventually. But anyway, in the process, it's 8:40. Let me say that again. It's 8:40. Anybody know what time Nards closes? 9, right? So I'm like, I gotta go to Menards right now. And so I'm like, I was already in my pajamas. So I throw on my jeans. I'm running out the door, one pant leg in my boot, one outside the boot, one finger of a glove on, hat. And by this time, it's like 10 minutes till Menard closes. And I kid you not, this is the honest to God truth. First thought went through my mind. As I'm like, it's 30 below, right? And I'm unlocking the garage door and trying to get into the car and hold everything, and it's chaos. And the first thought that went through my mind was, I wish Gage hadn't found that yet. I would rather have just spent the night in peace while spewing sewage on my basement floor than actually have to deal with that. I think sometimes we think that way about our lives. We don't want to really deal with it. But that's the reality. This is the good news of the gospel, and it compels us to act, to seek his face. So some of you are going to ask me, I know you are, well, give me some concretes. I like concretes. Well, this is what's difficult. There's not a checklist. If you do these 17 things or 8 or I heard 3, 7, and 11 are the key numbers for best-selling books. 3 things, the 7 habits, the 11, whatever. But I don't have them. I don't know what they are. But I think this psalm gives us a hint. I think if you want to seek his face, go home, put your body, I think it helps to actually put your body, if you're physically able, into a position that is similar to how your body would be if you were before the presence of a king on a throne who has the power to say off with their head, right? I mean, that sort of power. How would you just kind of strut in and be like, what's up, dog? You wouldn't do that, right? I think it helps to put our body in a position, get on your knees, lay on your face, to actually get in the posture of recognizing the one that you're coming before, and then pray the prayer in verses 7 and 8. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Do that. Try it. Over and over and over. Repeatedly, if you need to, cry out to God that you want to seek his face. And here's the thing. I'll be honest. You'll hear this very often, but it's true. God may not answer every prayer for health and wealth and happiness. He genuinely may not. But I assure you, that is one prayer he will always answer. He will reveal himself to you if you cry out, Lord, help me seek your face. And of course, that's in conjunction with the last thing that we need to do that the psalm talks about, and that is wait. Verse 14 says, wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Waiting is hard. I know it is. It is harder for some of us right now than for others. I know that. We wait this time of year for Christmas presents, and we don't know exactly what's wrapped up under the tree. We wait on a diagnosis when we're not sure what the doctor's going to say. We wait on the interview call back, and you don't know if you got a job. You don't even know if you want the job. You're still kind of waiting to see what's going to happen. But Christmas is different. Jesus is different. Because we're waiting on God to show up. We're waiting on the one who's already come to save us to come and fully restore us. This is what we're waiting for. Now, I know it can take a while by our standards. David wrote this hundreds of years before Jesus was born. Hundreds of years. But you know what? And this is the key. This is important. Yes, it was hundreds of years. But Jesus came. He keeps his promises. He may take longer than we'd like. But Jesus came. The light came into the world and broke into darkness. And he has told us that he is coming again. Do you believe this? Really, do you believe that God is trustworthy? Because he has said that he will rescue his people, fully restore us, give us a new creation, a new heaven and a new earth. This is the promise. And he gave us his Son, Jesus. He gave us resurrection. He gave us the Holy Spirit as a deposit and a promise that, yes, I am coming. See, in this case, you and I know exactly what's under the tree. It is something far greater than anything we could wish for. A new creation, free of fear and dread and heartache and shame and disappointment and death, all done away with. This is what we're waiting for. So let me just end with this. The light of the world has come and is coming. In the meantime, seek his face and wait eagerly for his arrival. Let me pray for us. God, thank you that we have this great promise. Jesus, we ask you this Advent to come quickly, to restore everything that is broken. In the meantime, Lord, give us courage and strength and the grace that we need to seek your face even in the wait. It's in your name. Amen.